Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at three verses and then we're going to launch back into the Old Testament. So if you want to, you can also look up Genesis chapter 22 and put a finger there if you have a bookmarker. But let's first look at Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis 22. Starting at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Let's pray. Father, we just pray again that you just open our eyes. Help us to see truly, Lord, you raised and lifted up high. Help us to understand the truth of your word, the truth that you stand behind, and Lord, the truth that we can rest in. We just pray that you'd help our weak minds, Lord, grasp this spiritual truth as we look at an earthly story to find a heavenly truth. Lord, we just pray that you would just guide and direct us in it. And we just lift this up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. That word figurative sense there at the end of verse 19 is basically a parable. And that's what it basically means, is taking an earthly story with a heavenly insight. Or it's laying aside, you know, stories. Jesus spoke in parables. You know that. So, again, looking at this, you see that Abraham was tested. And that word means to try, to test for the purpose of ascertaining his quality or what he thinks or how he will behave himself. And we also know this from Peter, that the testing of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. It will be tested by fire, may be found the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, through now you have not seen him yet, believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And usually you read that and you kind of go over and you kind of go, how good is my testing, my faith actually happening as even as we speak? But again, it's understanding the truths in really the gospel message. And the gospel message is basically a simple truth is you can't, he can. There's no way you could, so he did. And that's true with our walk with the Lord. And it really comes down to the opening of a heart and a mind of just saying, I give, I want to see. And then what we do when we do have that revelation. But notice too, it says that he offered up Isaac, received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Because what did God tell Abraham? That through Isaac, remember? Through Isaac. How about Ishmael? No. Isaac, the one that Sarah will give birth to, that through him I will bless all nations. So now he understood that God promised with an oath, and we understand something through Hebrews that God cannot lie. And when God gives an oath, it's a double powerful statement of God. And really, that's true throughout the scripture. So we see that Abraham understood that this was God's problem. Of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him. So he understood that if Isaac died, it was God's problem. God had to bring him back. That God was able to do that, to bring him back. Now, I'd like to go through this story. I'm going to kind of go through it twice, so bear with me. But if you will, now turn to Genesis chapter 22, but if you want, you can also keep a thumb there. We'll refer to it one more time. Genesis chapter 22 now. And we'll go into this story. And it really is an amazing story. Excuse me. All right. I needed that. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, or land of God choosing, and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one on the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wait a minute. Burnt offering, gang. God wasn't asking Abraham just to kill his son. He was saying, then put him up on an altar and burn him completely. Doesn't that just open your eyes to something even more? Abraham was willing to do this, we're going to find. That the ashes that would be blown up in the sky, that God was able to put them back together again. Don't fear if somebody's cremated, guys. God can do it. It's not a problem. People that were eaten by animals and digested, don't worry. God can do it. People that have been burned at the stake and nothing but ashes, don't worry. God is able. Isn't it amazing? We have an amazing God. Verse 3. Now, what did Abraham do? He rose up early in the morning. Immediate obedience. I probably would have hesitated. Maybe the Lord will change his mind. Let's just kind of just hang out here for a while. You never know. So he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. Now, I know it says lad there, but it's actually the same word as young men. Just previously said about the two servants. Now, the guesstimation is that Isaac is anywhere from the ages of 17. This is where it really gets good. From 17, listen, really, this is really interesting. 17 to 33. Okay? Now, we don't really know. But a young man. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. So you got to realize, Abraham then would be 117 or 133 years old. What is Abraham carrying? Fire and a knife. Who's carrying the load? Isaac. Verse 7 and 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, son. He said, look, we got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Because I don't know. God will provide. I don't know the answer to that problem. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh kind of gives Peter's words a little clearer definition for us, doesn't it? Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to pay my mortgage, but I cast my care upon God. He knows. He's the provider. I don't know how I'm going to get another job. Casting my care upon God, he does know. He's my provider. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this trying time. Casting my care upon God, he is the provider. I don't know how I'm going to make it another day. Casting my care upon the Lord, he is the provider. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Casting all my care upon God, for he cares for me. Jehovah Jireh. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Remember how old Isaac is. Complete submission to his father. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The test was to see if Abraham feared God. That word fear, it means reverent, afraid. The root word means be afraid, to stand in awe of, reverence, honor, respect due to God. See, we're learning about faith, and faith, we've learned all these great things about faith. But faith really is, and we understand this is what the faith is in. And continually through Hebrews, it speaks to these people about their faith being in God. And really, our job as believers is to stretch everything that we think that we would understand, and to understand that it goes off into eternity, into nothingness. That God is larger than our minds, larger than any concept that we can think. That God continually tries to teach us elementary steps in who He is. And this is one of them. See, Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because he understood the Eternal One promised him something, that through his son, Isaac, God named him Isaac, him, through him. And so through him, that promise would be made. So regardless of what Abraham did to Isaac, God would make him come back to life again. That is awe, that is reverence, that is amazing faith. And it solidifies a truth. To see God is to see how little you are. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah gives us a great example in this. I saw the Lord lifted, and His train filled the temple. His robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. And they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken. And the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, I am undone. See, it's good. It is good. We understand God. God sent His Son, and we'll get into that. It's good. It's good to understand that God came to earth to help us to understand Him. But, gang, that's elementary stuff. That's flesh stuff. But see, the reality is God goes beyond that. God is amazing. God is awe-inspiring. The heavens declare the glory of God. And every time the scientists point something out there to look at the heavens and see how vast they are and how majestic they are, again, you just get an inkling of how big this God is. It pales in comparison, the greatness of this God that we worship. When we say, oh God, show yourself to humanity, but really, it's God's, if you will, God blessing towards man that He doesn't, because if He was to reveal His glory, then everything would dissolve before Him, because He is pure, He is holy, He is pure light, He is pure truth, He's pure love, and now, even now, your mind's stopping, because you can't fathom it, neither can I. This is the God we worship, and to see how great He is, and how perfect He is, then again, we come to ourselves and say, woe, woe is me. I'm just trying to hold myself together, and He holds everything together. And God's desire for each of us is just as Abraham discovered here that God tested him. Here's the test. Do you see me, Abraham? Do you understand that without me, it is impossible? With me, all things are possible. See, you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not by my willpower. It's not by my strength. It's by the power of this Almighty God. Jeremiah put it this way. He said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." Now you might be saying, "Well, I believe God can do anything." My problem is God willing to do that? Then we have to come down to, again, an understanding to, just as with Isaiah, that he is saying, "Woe, I am undone," that God provided what needed to be done in Isaiah's life. He took the coal from the altar and touched his lips and made him holy. And see what Christ has done for us, what this living God has done for us, he's taken his blood and he's poured it on the seat, and now we're all clean. We've been made new. We're transformed. We have become the children of God, not by your will or strength, but by trust in him, the God who is almighty, the most powerful one, the all-consuming one. Because he made a way for each of us. Now he calls us into his presence, but he doesn't just say that. He says, "Now, being confident of this very thing, take this, that I'm doing a work in you, and it will be complete." No matter how much you feel like you're failing, understand something, that you are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. That you are overcoming the world, not by your strength, but by your trust in me. That is what has overcome the world in your life. That sin is now held in its place. That you are free from it. Not because you feel it. Not even because you think it. But because I say it. All the promises in my word are yes and amen. If you see me for who I am. Not for what you get. It's the understanding again that this inspiring God, this majestic, powerful being, has called you and me his child. It's amazing. To have that fear, that reverence, that awe to God on one hand, but to call him Abba on the other. Spend eternity trying to grasp that. And then maybe he'll add something else for us to think and chew on. Amazing. To every morning to wake up and say, "Lord, help me to see you as you are and understand who I am. Help me to stop looking at the 3D and help me get a grasp of who you are today." Today. Excuse me. Well, look at verse 13. "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it was provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the seashore. As the descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." And that is what we are. We are his children because of what he has done. Paul says in Galatians, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." Why? because he believed God, and it was accounted unto him righteousness. That's what we did. We believed God, and now it is accounted unto us in righteousness. Now, if you will, remember I said this is an earthly story to describe a heavenly scene. And that's really what we have here. And just going over the story again, it's amazing, if you will. And I'll try to do it quickly, but just hold on and just go with me. Because even your mind will go to places that I didn't. And that's okay. But I want you to see this picture again, if you will. So let's go over this one more time. Verse 1. And it came to pass, and these things that God tested Abraham and said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And take him to Moriah. What is Moriah? Moriah is chosen by God. Where is that? Well, we learn in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, that it is the very place that Solomon builds the temple. Jesus then goes into the temple and says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up again. So then we understand something about the deity of Christ. Moriah. Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. And offer him there as a burnt offering as one on the mountains of which I tell you. In Colossians 1:22, Paul says this, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and reproach in his sight, he offered up his own body. His body. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and sent to the place of which God told him. And Jesus told two of his disciples, go into this city, certain city, and you will find a colt, a foal of a donkey. Untie him. And if somebody asks you, what are you doing? Say, my master has need of him. And Jesus took that donkey and he rode into Jerusalem, where they were taking this donkey into Jerusalem. That's where Moriah is. Jesus rode his donkey into Jerusalem. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place far off. 3 days travel, 3 days. Isaac was as good as dead. God now gives us this insight into a father. What would this father be thinking? I don't have to think hard. See, I would every night as my put everybody to bed, I would go off, maybe early in the morning, maybe late at night, but then I would cry out something. You know what it would be? God, if it is possible, please let this cup pass from me. See, we always think about the Son, and true, that's what Jesus said. In fact, if you will, he said it 3 times. 3 days Abraham had to think about this, meditate about this. My son, I have to kill. My son. We always think the father is separate from the son. The son was going, okay, father, whatever you want. Yes, go on that cross and die. But we don't realize something, that this is a father. And if you were to tell me to sacrifice one of my sons, I would fight for him. I would die for one of my sons. And you're telling me you wouldn't? God is taking us and saying, look, I have emotion. This was my son. My son. 3 days, Abraham probably just chewed on it. Lord, please, not my son. Look, I know you can raise him back again from the dead. I know you can. I can't see him die, Father. I can't see him suffer. Verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. and we will come back to you. You know what Jesus said to his disciples? He said this. If I could find it. What was that? Oh, that's where I missed it. Sorry about that. 14:28, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I'm coming back. Just as Abraham told his servants, look, we're going, but we're coming back. Jesus told his disciples, look, I'm going, but I'm coming back. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And Jesus carried his cross to Mount Calvary. A knife from fire. A knife like a sword. A knife that would bring death. A knife that would cut. A knife that would divide. A knife that would bring healing. Knife, sword, the word, fire, that which purifies, that which brings the Holy Spirit. Verse 7 and 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went. And John the Baptist looked and behold and saw Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Notice too, it says this in verse 8, it says, so the two of them went together. That word basically means union, it means alike, unison. Father and the Son, everything they did was in unison. In fact, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Alike, remember Jesus told Philip, you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We are one. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Just as Isaac was willing, so was Jesus a willing participant. Jesus goes on to say in John, he says, sorry. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And in Philippians he said, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So as Isaac was a willing participant, so was Jesus a willing participant. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Tears in his eyes. Think about it. Tears in both of their eyes. What was Isaac thinking? What was Abraham thinking? Was Abraham crying in his heart with tears just dripping down, falling on Isaac's face? Was Isaac looking at him and would come out? Would it just come out of him just because it's just the tenseness of it? The stress and the strain and just the shock. Did he look at him and say, Father, why do you forsake me? To know the emotion of this, we always just set it aside, but there was emotion here. I can't even imagine. And we think about his disciples by the cross, they felt the emotion, but we don't realize the emotion between the Father and the Son. But still, again, we look and we see how great and awesome this God is. Worthy to be worshipped and praised. And yet he lays everything down for elementary purposes for us to grasp and understand that he has emotion. We have emotion. We are in his image. This cost him something. We keep thinking, ah, he rose from the dead. It was no big thing, right? Even if my son was going to come back from the dead, if it came with my own hands and not preventing something, I would have to live with that. And that's what we have here on this earth. Yeah, my loved ones can die. But what aches and pains I torment myself if I could have somehow kept it from happening. Verse 11. Excuse me. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God. God didn't withhold his hand. Abraham, this was a test. I don't require a sacrifice or an offering or a burnt offering. I have no pleasure in them. Abraham, this is the angel of the Lord, which into my heart, that's a Christophany. It's Jesus. See, Jesus will go on, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I offer up myself. Verse 12. Again. Said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything for him, for I know that you fear God since you have not withheld your son, your only son. Because God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. The demonstration of God and his love towards us. We keep putting it upon ourselves. Well, I'm not worthy to be loved. I'm not. And a lot of you agree, amen, I know, I'm not. But see, that's the way you feel too. I'm not worthy. I'm not making the grade. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You never are going to. But see, the thing is, and the bottom line is God demonstrated his love toward us. God loves you and I. God loves you. You can't earn it. Amen, I take it. I'll take it. Verses 13 and 14. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram, offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is this day, the mount of the Lord shall be provided. God provided for us on Mount Calvary. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. God provided there on Calvary. God provided the door. God provided a way. God demonstrated his love. God cries to humanity. God desires fellowship with us. God. But I don't feel him. He tells us, don't go by your feelings. Go by your faith. But I don't see you. Go by your faith. But what is faith? It's hearing right now what I'm telling you. These truths. Accept them. Have reverence for me. Stop looking at you and start beholding me. But you know, that's the cry of God's heart. But see, we get so hung up on us. Me. Me. My pain, my hurt, my sorrow, my sickness. Me. Don't you see me? Yeah, I see you. People now are saying, oh, if God was real, why doesn't he demonstrate himself? Why doesn't he show it? He's already demonstrated himself. And he's put all these signs throughout his creation. I'm here. Just as I'm telling you about the scientists and they're looking into all these galaxies and their hypothesis is now that there's this big black hole in the center of all these galaxies. And that's why everything's swirling around. Ever look at those pictures? It's like a hurricane. It's like this, everything swirling around the center. And in the center is just all this massive stars. What they're supposed to be doing is like a nuclei of an atom. Just going like this all over the place. It's amazing. I probably got that wrong anyway. But it's just amazing how it just goes around like this. And they're looking and peering through these, if you will, just like this. We're trying to look at these things and go, oh, well, that must be a black hole. They don't got a clue. It would take eternity just to discover what God has made in this creation. And they can't say or think that somebody created that? Why? Because that would be a very, very powerful, powerful being. One to be afraid of. One that we would never understand. So see, God made it elementary. God became a baby. It's amazing. God walked this earth. Oh, so amazing. God wept over Jerusalem. God wept over a funeral. God wept over people's condition. Had compassion. He hurt for them. He loved them unconditionally. And those he created, those who were called his own, killed them, hung them on a cross. If God was to do it again, how long would he last now? I don't even think he'd make it 3 years. We won't have that man rule over us. And yet the angels, the most powerful created beings that he made, all fall down and worship him. And what they say, they can't help but say, holy, 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 perfect, majestic is this God. Holy. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants. As the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. That's us. What? Possessing the gates of our enemies. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. You think about that just for a second, and we'll conclude. Really, we're almost done. Just think about that. Whoever touches you touches God's eye. Wait a minute. This God, the majestic, powerful God that created everything, he's in control, gang. He's in control. He holds our life in it. He knows each day. And really the call to all of us each day is, do you trust me? You know what's funny about that? Think about this. Colossians, it tells us he holds everything together. He holds all the atoms together in us. If we really understood that in this human form, of what it is that he's holding together, would we really just trust him in that? And yet every day that we live and we exist, he's holding us together. Physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And then the last thing I want you to see is verse 18. And in your seed, singular, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Paul tells us in Galatians, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made He does not say, and to seeds, plural, and as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. See, what God was doing, if you will, in conclusion, was he was holding all this plan together through Isaac. See, if anything was going to happen to Isaac, then you and I wouldn't be here right now as Christians. So can you imagine when God told Abraham, okay, take your son, and how all the powers of the enemy were going, yeah, kill him. Yeah, put an end to this. And the balance of all salvation was on this story. Just as all the stories where God promised that through David, through Judah, through, if they would have been wiped out, so what would be the enemy's plan? Let's wipe out the Jews. Let's wipe them out. Because if we can wipe them out, then the seed cannot come. See, before is wipe out humanity. Now it's wipe out this seed. So now we're told the enemy is pretty upset. Why? Because the seed has now multiplied. That now we can be called children of the living God. So it tells us that he's pretty upset with those that now call upon him and those that were of the original seed. And you see that the world is against the Christian and the Jew. And it will intensify. But don't worry. Remember, he's got us in his hand. Conclusion. What? What do you think about God? When you're praying, how are you perceiving God? When you're struggling, how do you see God? When you're hurting, how do you see God? When you're not making it, how do you see God? When you're being tripped by the enemy, how do you see God? When you're reading His Word, how do you see God? When you come to church, how do you see God? Every day you wake up, how do you see God? Because if we begin to see Him as He really is, how small everything else is. And how we understand why just a little bit of faith goes a long way. Oh, did I mention He loves you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this story. We thank You for laying it down elementary-wise so that we can begin to grasp it. Thank You, Lord, for the truth, Lord, that we understand who You are. But Lord, we don't get it sometimes. We just fail. We don't clearly see You high and lifted up. We see our own problems and our own struggles and not the promises that You've given to us through Christ, through that seed. Lord, help us to really begin to wake every day with just the anticipation of You, of how You desire, Lord, not how we want it to happen, how You desire to display Your glory to us that day or even this day. Help us to be children that desire, Lord, to just be taught by Your Spirit, allowing You to work, submitting unto Your workmanship. Help us just to come away from this morning of being confident of this very thing, that You are going to complete us, that You love us, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And when we peer into things that we don't understand, Let us rest in the fact that you do. That we can be confident that the work that you're doing, that all things do work together for your good and for your workmanship. Thank you for these truths. And Lord, we just ask even beforehand, forgive us because we're going to fail. Forgive us because we'll start looking at ourselves and our own circumstances. Forgive us, Lord, because we become short-sighted so many times. But I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would again remind us of these truths. And once again, we'll just cry out with the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.